Hi, this is Alan McNish, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid has taken Mother's Day off. This is podcast number 346, May 10th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we love the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge. And they're on their second race. And I heard they're just having a great time up there. I wish I could join them every day, but of course, here at F1 Weekly, we work hard every day.
We have other responsibilities.
Estamos en España. Torreadora.
Gran Primero de España. Telefónica.
Exactly. We're in Barcelona. It's a beautiful day. 40% chance of rain went right out the window. And there's a little cloudy every once in a while, but great weather for racing.
Phenomenally beautiful day.
Packed house. The usual Oviedo nuts.
Yeah. Lots of blue flags in the stands.
And, the Fernando Alonso effect still in full effect over there in Barcelona. But I'm sure the atmosphere is just absolutely fun to be at.
Oh, yeah. I imagine it's a big party and, probably put many of the NASCAR series races to shame.
Exactly. I don't even know what you're talking about, Stephen. But anyway, so we've got qualifying. Let's talk about qualifying quickly. Interesting new front wing for Red Bull and a dynamite new nose for BMW. I mean, that thing is pointing right straight ahead.
And was actually somewhat effective for them, too. So right off the bat, we go out first session. Some really surprises in the end of this first session as to who actually ends up out.
That's true, and let's not forget that the final practice, we had a Ferrari 1-2. Ferrari showing pace, and obviously they've made some big improvements compared to McLaren, who at the end of the day said, we're struggling, we're going to be stinky, that's just the way it is. Lewis Hamilton, very bummed out. Really didn't have much pace in practice, but Ferrari certainly showing lots of improvements. So I was expecting to see them really do well.
I expected both of their cars to make it to the third session. But same thing that happened to them in Malaysia, where they posted the time, they go back into the garage and sat it out and ended up with a car out in that first session. There's no excuse for that. You know, they came back later in the race mentioning that, oh, we were trying to save a set. You know, we wanted to save a set of tires. Doesn't do you good to save that set of tires if you don't make it out of Q1.
Not only that, but once again, I certainly hope the television industry is doing well in Maranello, because I'm sure Montezemolo threw a couple out the window.
I'm sure he destroyed one at the end of that first session. Out in the first session are Kimi Räikkönen, Sebastian Bourdais, Heikki Kovalainen, who really just can't seem to get it started this season, Adrian Sutil, and Giancarlo Fisichella. Poor Heikki just can't catch a break. You know, he's not getting a good fast lap. When the car improves a little bit, he doesn't. I'm hoping to see his fortunes turn here pretty soon, or it's going to be an exceptionally long season for him.
Yeah, some people are getting him confused with Nelson Piquet.
Yeah, so they were saying he hasn't. Actually, this was the first time that he'd been out in Q1 since he started racing in Formula One.
Good for him. But, yeah, the tragedy over at Ferrari continues, and Kimi Raikkonen doesn't make it out. And really, that was the big story of Q1, and they just continue to make these mistakes.
And it's not a horrendous mistake, but it's something that shouldn't happen. You know, this is arguably could be deemed the number one team. Well, they were constructors champions last year. They shouldn't have a car out in Q1 when they have a car that's fast enough to get out of Q1.
Yeah, these are Force India type mistakes. And they're not making mistakes.
No, this is almost more of a super aguri kind of mistake where you've got a low budget team who doesn't have a lot of, you know, depth in their lineup, so to speak.
No, it was a very sad state of affairs. Let's go to Q2, and real quickly, because we've been knocking Nelson Piquet, I want to mention that in Q1, Nelson Piquet was P13, and Alonso was P14.
Which was a bit of a surprise. Nelsinho was putting down some better laps than Fernando in that first session.
So, but I think Fernando just was trying to help him out.
It's giving him a little
ego
boost.
You heard about the cuddling, that he wants... He needs a cuddle. And Flavio only cuddles after you win.
Yeah.
There's no cuddling before.
No.
I think Fernando...
I'm sure Nelsinho could just walk outside of the paddock and go, can I get a cuddle? He'd probably about 15 women around him at the snap of his finger.
I hate to say this, but he's such a snotty little kid that he doesn't even...
Ooh.
But anyway, Q2 starts right away. Kaz Nakajima is out. First on the track, and then the usual suspects. Nelson Piquet goes right to the top with just 12 minutes to go. I know there's only 15 minutes, but I'm giving this guy some slack here.
Yeah, he was at the top. He was at the top for a minute.
And real quickly in practice, I wanted to mention that Nick Heidfeld in the final practice had a shunt and really destroyed most of the front end of his car, and it took the team all night to get it all back together for qualifying. So Nick Heidfeld really
owes the guys a round of beers.
There's no doubt.
Got to buy them dinner for that, buddy.
Yeah, and 7 minutes to go in Q2, and it was Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Rubens Barrichello, Kaz Nakajima, and Fernando Alonso. And Felipe Massa is showing a lot of pace. Very interesting, but with 6 minutes to go, the BMW had not come out yet. Wasn't sure what their strategy was, but they were just tire savings, I think, are going
part of it.
This a lot.
We've also seen so far in the two sessions that as the track gets more and more rubber on it, it becomes that much faster with every lap that's put on it. So they're probably waiting for some of that to come in so that they can maybe get away with running a single set of single set of tires. And also because as you go later in the session, the track is a bit faster.
Yeah, and some of the people that we usually see in the top 10 were struggling in this Q2 series. And people like Nick Heidfeld, Lewis Hamilton.
Well, even the two Brawns were down in the relegation zone early in the session.
A little bit, yeah, and everything kept shuffling around real quickly. But sure enough, and I thought Lewis Hamilton might be able to get by, but things changed so quickly at the end of Q2 that sure enough, Lewis Hamilton is knocked out. He is going into a deep depression.
Yeah. Q2 has been one of the more fun things to watch because, you know, you could be at like 5 or 6 with 3 minutes to go and end up relegated. It's just phenomenal how quickly things can change in that session. So out in the session, qualifying 11th is Kaz Nakajima, 12th is Nelson Piquet, 13th Heidfeld, 14th Lewis Hamilton, and in 15th, Sebastian Buemi. And actually, if you look at the times in that session, barely a second between the top in Q2 and Buemi's time.
It's a very, very tight group. There's no doubt about it. One thing that's for sure is the new rules have tightened the field tremendously.
Yeah.
And that's why just a small error by the driver is going to cost you a lot.
A little mistake, you know, that's why just that tiny bit of tweak in the, you know, with the new diffusers makes a huge difference for a lot of these teams.
Exactly. And of course, once again, Nelson Piquet doesn't make it into Q3. And of course, Romain Grosjean that weekend got pole for the GP2, and we'll get to who wins the GP2 later on. in the week with Motorsports Mondial, but still, Romain Grosjean was showing off a little bit. And we'll see what happens at Renault, but...
Well, I'm guessing Nelson Vigneault's probably got three more races, at least.
I agree.
More than likely, he'll survive the European Tour.
I think he'll stay until Turkey.
Yeah.
And then it's gobble, gobble, gobble.
Bad puns for 100, please.
And the other person that really needs to start performing is Bourdais.
Yeah, he's still really not outrunning his teammate at all. In that first session, 2-3 tenths behind his teammate. So he's going to have to pick up the pace. He's going to decide that he likes this car and just make the best of it. Otherwise, it's going to be a short season for him.
Absolutely. So let's go right to Q3. Toyota comes out first on track, and Toyota not showing the pace that we expect from them this weekend.
Well, certainly not the pace that we saw in Bahrain. They've definitely not taken that step forward that several of the other teams have coming into Spain. So, you know, hopefully they'll bounce back for Monaco. But, you know, I'm not sure that this track is well suited to them. They seem to like the longer, faster tracks. They don't seem to be as quite as competitive on the tighter courses.
And Rubens Barrichello doing an outstanding job in Q3, really fast. And he's, you know, he's the talk of the town, being the old man on the river. And certainly just doing a great job driving for Braun GP.
Yeah, basically certainly showing that Ross made the right decision to sign him back to the team.
And Felipe Massa, I thought, might have a chance in getting pole position because of having good pace and practice and showing a lot of improvement at Ferrari, but that certainly wasn't the case. It was back to the old Red Bull and the Bronze fighting it out.
Yep, and it came down to the last lap of the qualifying session to determine who was going to be on pole. You know, we were looking at it. Sebastian Vettel was on top of the timesheets, pretty halfway decent margin. He had a full tenth on top of Rubens Barrichello, and Jensen really hadn't put down any quality laps in the third session, so we were thinking, yeah, okay, Sebastian Vettel's going to get his second one, but man, Button throwing down his last lap and just nailed it.
Yeah. Not by much, but he got pole. Sebastian Vettel was surprised that he didn't get pole, and Rubens Barrichello was just a surprise as well.
Exactly. Qualifying fourth, Felipe Massa. Next will be Mark Webber. Beside him will be Timo Glock. On the fourth row will be Jarno Trulli, beside Fernando Alonso. And then Nico Rosberg will be starting beside Robert Kubica. If I recall correctly, the other thing, kind of impressive for Felipe to qualify fourth, since it ends up turning out that he is the heaviest car on the grid and still qualified for.
Well, there you have it. Felipe Massa.
388 kilos or something.
He's not the Cupid doll that we knocked him around to be.
Yeah, back when he was Schumacher's teammate, we all thought he was kind of, you know, just the placeholder. But he has shown that he has talent.
And not only that, but I think he's got a little bit more motivation than his Finnish friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's definitely got a bit of a chip on his shoulder to lose, you know, basically to win and lose the championship in the final race last season. Definitely will put a spur in your saddle.
Yeah, and to slowly watch this championship as Ferrari continues to make these mistakes, it's got to be brutal.
It's got to be rough, yeah. Especially when we see what happens during the race. If I were Felipe, I'd be calling Luca myself and going, dude, what's the deal with this?
Yeah, it's pretty strenuous on poor old little Felipe. But there you have it. And, of course, his teammate Kimi Raikkonen starting in 16th spot. So anyway, we go right to race day.
Race day.
Another great day. Typical Spanish weather.
Phenomenally beautiful day. About 75 degrees. Track temperature just under 109.
And, of course, the talk to, you know, when you talk to all the drivers, that long straight and that right-hander in turn one, they know something's going to happen. Something always happens.
Yeah, it's a really rough complex coming down off that straight. You got to break down, but then it's a right-hander with a quick left. And invariably, between those three, before you get to the third turn, something's going to happen.
And it's funny because I watched the BBC coverage, and they were interviewing Adrian Sutil before the start of the race, and they were talking about how you have to watch out what's going on in front of you and watch out for debris. How clairvoyant.
Yeah, basically.
Young Adrian is.
See it in the future.
But anyway, the lights go out, and Rubens Barrichello has a great start.
Phenomenal.
He's had some bad starts, but this time has a really good start, holding off Jenson Button.
Well, actually getting past...
Getting past Jenson Button and in front, going on the outside and moving in. And Jenson Button does the right thing. So does Sebastian Vettel. No crashing. That's handled very well.
And Felipe has a pretty good start, too. He ends up getting into the third.
Felipe looked like, yeah, he slips into third but and gets around Sebastian Vettel because he's got curves.
Yeah.
And you could see
just
him.
Just a little bit of boost getting down to the end of the straight was enough to get him into that slot.
And he was expecting it and knew that he should be able to at least get by one or two cars.
Yeah, and he does. So going into the first turn, we've got Barrichello leading Button, followed by Massa, Vettel, Weber, Alonso, and Rosberg. And then all the fun breaks loose.
Yes, Timo Glock was right behind Nico Rosberg, but apparently Nico went off the track, came back on, and tagged
Yarno
Trulli. And this is hard to see in the replays. You really have to put into slow motion. But you could spot it. And then Yarno goes out. And I still think it's Yarno Trulli's fault, the way he came back into the track.
Yeah, well, I think what happened is once he got into the gravel, he basically...
It's hard to control.
He lost the car because basically the back end came out on him, basically turned him, pointed him across the track, and there he went. And it's carnage at that point.
Especially for Sebastian Bourdais.
And Buemi. Bourdais ends up... Buemi sees it happen, checks up, and his teammate goes right over his rear wing.
Very scary. He goes flying right over Buemi.
And in the meantime, Adrian Sutil, who had gone off track to try to avoid
the whole
the carnage, ends up going back on and right into Trulli's nose. It's kind of like...
It was
like, damn.
And I felt bad for Adrian Sutil and for Yarno Trulli because Trulli probably might have had a good race.
He probably would have had a good race. Trulli, typically, if he can stay on the track, you know, fares well. He probably would have ended up in the points. His car was good enough to do that.
Yeah, and Giancarlo Fisichella was somewhere in the middle of that, but was able to save it and get back to the pits for a checkout. They changed whatever was broken. They popped him off to the
gills,
and he was able to continue racing. And amongst all of this, there's just so much debris that the safety car comes out.
Well, that and the other phenomenal thing was to watch Lewis Hamilton basically thread the needle through all of this just carnage, and basically just kind of weave his way through and get through without any damage. He didn't appear to pick up any debris on his tires. Some guys are just lucky.
Exactly, Steven. But it was very exciting. Safety car comes out, and it takes him a couple of laps to get everything cleaned up.
Yeah, just basically with Bourdais going over the back of Buemi and Sutil hitting the front of Yarno's car, you basically get four wing assemblies that just disintegrated and turned into confetti all over the track. Took them the three laps just to get it clean. And even once they were done, you could still see there was a lot of the little stuff still out there on the track, and definitely turns that you did not want to get off the racing line. Unless, of course, you wanted to pick up a nice shard of carbon fiber.
And one of the greatest most exciting passes or pass attempts is when the safety car lights go out and the safety car comes in. When Fernando Alonso goes super wide trying to get around Mark Webber, and Mark Webber just checks him and says, "No way, Jose."
Well, it was beautiful because Alonso got past him.
But it didn't last.
No, exactly.
He wasn't able to hold it. But it was pretty brave for Fernando. And I was glad he did it because he's in front of all his fans. And it was an outrageous pass attempt on the start. And especially the way he went so wide.
Yep.
He touched the grass a little bit, but Mark Webber was able to regain position.
And we'll cut down on the inside of the corner and basically get his position back. Really sweet pass.
It was a sweet pass, and one of the best passes of the race.
A beautiful pair of passes.
Exactly. Lap six, fast lap of the race, Rubens Barrichello with 1:24.581, and Lewis Hamilton passes Nelson Piquet.
For 13, and then about this time, suddenly Heike slowing down.
Yeah, we don't even know why he's slowing down, but it turns out to be a gearbox problem.
Yeah, another rough weekend for Heike Kovalainen. Made it through the first lap.
It's a rough weekend for McLaren and Ferrari. Guys who were fighting for the championship last year are gone.
Well, this whole season has just been just kind of a debacle for them.
They are not going to be in this at all, I guarantee it. Trust me. No. McLaren might be looking better by Silverstone, but we'll see what happens.
Well, basically, both of them had to put in a good showing this weekend to really have any realistic chance of getting back into the championship fight.
I agree. And Kimi Raikkonen's got to slice up the field and get into the points. He's got to.
Yeah. And he might have, but...
Exactly. But anyway, lap seven, fast lap of the race, Rubinho, 1:24.172. And Heikki Kovalainen does make it back to the pits, but he's wheeled into the garage.
Yeah, couldn't even turn the car into the garage and put him up on the
dolly.
At
this stage of the race, you can see it's the Braun domination.
Yeah.
Not the Born domination, but the Braun domination. And I'm telling you, this is going to be the movie of the year. I don't care what anybody says. Fast lap of the race. Lap 8. Jenson Button answers Rubens with a 1:23.898. Lap 9. Sebastian Vettel beginning to catch Felipe Massa. And this is a struggle for Vettel for a long, long time.
For almost the entire race. He's pretty much behind Felipe just about the entire time. And he really just can't. You know, I'm thinking maybe Kurtz basically giving Felipe just enough boost to be able to hold Sebastian Vettel off. We know how good a driver Vettel can be. And I think you've got a combination of two things. One, this track is very difficult to pass. There really are no quality locations to do it. And two, Felipe with Kurs has just enough to hold him off. But as we'll see later in late race, Kurs isn't going to be a lot of help.
Exactly. And while Sebastian Vettel is suffering behind the Kurs-ridden Ferrari, Kimi Raikkonen is pressuring Nick Heidfeld way in the back. Keep up the good work, Kimi. Lap 9 also sees Jenson Button do another fast lap with a 1:23.849. Rubens Barrichello answers back on lap 10 with a 1:23.719. Rubens Barrichello once again on lap 11, a 1:23.334, and he's in the lead.
He's just starting to pull out just a little bit.
He's pulling out a second or two, and he's really feeling good about this. It could be his first win, I believe, since, 2004, perhaps?
Yeah, probably.
Way back in the day when Schumacher would let him buy the token.
Would let him have one or two a season just to, you know, keep him happy.
So he's, you know, Rubens is thinking, God, I'm free, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to make it, after all. So pretty exciting stuff. Sebastian Vettel doing an outstanding job. Fastest at S1 on almost every lap. He's got that first sector down packed.
Yeah, well, it's the fastest of the three sectors, and it just shows how quick this Toro Rosso Renault can be.
Absolutely. Rubens Barrichello on lap 13 proves that he doesn't need Viagra. Another fast lap with a 1:23.094. And then Jenson Button answers back on lap 14, breaking into the 1:22.950s. And right now, Kimi Raikkonen is just all over Nick Heidfeld, but just cannot get by. And in the meantime, Robert Kubica is beginning to close in. And on lap 15, Rubens Barrichello has got a 1.5-second lead over Jenson Button. Not much. Down to Felipe Massa, it's 5 seconds. So Rubens has to push a little harder.
A little harder.
Lap 17, fast lap of the race. Jenson Button with a 1:22.899. Timo Glock pits. Sticks with the soft tires, 8.8 second stop. And finally, Jenson Button pits from P2. Fernando Alonso pits. Kimi Raikkonen is slowing. And we're hearing some weird noises from his car.
Yeah, his motor was running, but it was really odd sound to it.
And we're all going... Huh?
Yeah.
What is going on at Ferrari?
Yeah, here's a team that I think fell out of two, maybe three races last year due to mechanical type issues. that weren't created from some other impetus. And so far, Kimi just seems to be able to break the car with the snap of his fingers.
Kimi and Ferrari, the mistakes. I don't know what's going on, but I really think...
Well, they changed managers after Bahrain, and...
didn't help.
That much of a help. Maybe still a little bit of discombobulation going on there until they get settled in. I would like to see them, you know, at least not make the... just rookie kind of mistakes. You know,
and Ferrari is known for dependability. This kind of stuff usually shouldn't happen.
No. And then also just the tactical errors, you know, with the qualifying and stuff is just... that's not the way Ferrari runs their team.
So there you have it. Kimi Raikkonen is out of the car, and it's game over. Lap 18, Rubens Barrichello pits. 6.7 second stop. Very fast stop. Soft tires. Mark Webber pits as well. Lap 19, Rubens Barrichello is able to keep the lead.
Yep. He gets back out in front of Nico.
It's a splash and dash.
Yep. And basically looks like maybe they're changing up strategies on him and possibly taking him to a three-stop strategy just to kind of, two things, get him back out quick and also kind of increase the gap between him and Button so they're not having to race one another and possibly make a mistake.
And the illusion that I perceived was that Braun was pushing for Rubinho to win this race. That's what I gathered from what I was watching.
Really?
At least that's what it looked like on the outside.
At that moment.
When I saw the mirrors and the smoke. It looked like they were planning on Rubinho to win this race. So I was happy. I mean, you know, because that, you know, seeing Rubens tear up on the podium, holding that Brazilian flag, there's nothing like it in the world.
At this point in the season, it'd be good to throw him a bone because, you know, Button's already won three, you know. Give Rubinho one.
I agree. I was ready for Rubinho to win. I was rooting for him. So it was pretty exciting. So he keeps the lead. Very impressive. Lap 20. Felipe Massa pits. 8.6 stop. Soft tires. Sebastian Vettel pits. Similar stop. 8.7 soft tires. And the order is this. By lap 21, we've got Rubens Barrichello, Nico Rosberg, Jenson Button, Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, Heidfeld, Kubica, Hamilton, Weber, and Mr. España himself, Fernando Alonso. Nelson Piquet pits on lap 21 as well. Lap 23, Robert Kubica pits from P8. 7.2 second stop. He sticks with the soft tires. Nico Rosberg pits on lap 24 from P2. 7.4 second stop. And he comes out in ninth position. And Rubinho in the lead. Building a little bit of a lead, and I think he's doing outstanding.
Yeah, they're basically telling him to push because he needs to open
that
up
illusion.
The gap. Yeah, he needs to open the gap.
To beat Jensen.
Right, to win the race.
Exactly, because he's pole. And Rubens knows that most of the races at Barcelona are won from pole position.
Exactly. Well, just about everyone. I think the only one that wasn't was maybe last year when... Heikki Kovalainen had crashed out.
Last year, it was Kimi Raikkonen on pole. Kimi Raikkonen wins. That was his last win for Kimi Raikkonen. Lap 28, fast lap of the race. Rubens Barrichello continuing to push. Puts in a 1-2-2-7-6-2. Outstanding drive by the old man. Lap 30, Giancarlo Fisichella pits from P11. And Rubinho pits, finally, for some soft tires.
Which means he's doing a three-stopper,
which is a big bummer.
Kind of odd.
Well, he's realizing that they changed Jenson Button's strategy. So when you change one guy's strategy, usually it's going to affect...
the other guy.
Exactly. That's
and
part
usually,
of the illusion.
And when the pseudo-number one guy gets his strategy team, that means the pseudo-number two guy's strategy is probably not going to be optimum for him to win the race.
And Rubinho's now starting to get flashbacks... when he used to go...
start seeing the car suddenly looking red.
That, and then, you know, when he was at Ferrari, he'd always go and see this woman who would read the tarot cards to him and tell him what was going to happen in the next race.
I see a German leading you to the checkered flag.
Exactly. So, poor Rubinho, but he's doing good. Great drive. Lap 31, Lewis Hamilton and Nick Heidfeld pit. Timo Glock... right behind Lewis Hamilton. And there was some good stuff there when Lewis Hamilton came back out.
That was pretty good. Lewis, heavy on fuel, cold tires. Timo Glock right up on his gearbox. Just can't quite find the spot to get past him. And at the same time, Robert Kubica goes, ooh, it might be my opportunity. And he actually almost gets past Timo in one, but couldn't quite seal the deal.
No. And once again, it was the, you know, Lewis Hamilton having curves and that one little button.
Just enough to give him a little bit in the straight line speed to keep his pursuers at bay.
Lap 33. The results in the front are this. Jenson Button, Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, Rubens Barrichello, Weber, Alonso, Rosberg, Heidfeld, Kaz Nakajima, and Lewis Hamilton round off the top 10. Lap 36, Kaz Nakajima pits from P9. Lap 38, Jenson Button's to Rubens Barrichello, 10.8 seconds. Jenson Button now, after Rubens' second stop.
And Rubens is kind of losing ground. Button's barely holding on to a five-second lead between him and Massa, with Vettel right on Massa's tail. But he's not, you know, the team's coming over. Hurry up, Ruben, pick it up.
Exactly, but Rubens is struggling now with the car. It's not as good as it was for the first set of tires.
And more than likely could be the fact that he was on, you know, this would have been a huge set of softs that he'd gone on to, and maybe they're going off a little more quickly than expected.
So all of a sudden, what I thought was going to be a Rubens Barrichello victory, that's beginning to fizzle away.
Yeah, and in fact, at this point in the race, it's looking like he may not even make it to the podium.
Very sad state of affairs for Rubinho. And Braun is on the radio on lap 39 telling Rubens Barrichello to push. He's got to pick it up or he's not going to be able to win this race. And I think Ross Braun told him that we're going to strategically put this together so you can have it, Rubens. Because they've known each other for a long time. Braun has seen Rubinho suffer for years. So, unfortunately, Rubens Barrichello is told to push, but he's really having a hard time to do it.
Yeah, he's not putting down the fast laps, though he does end up with the fast lap of the race, which he gained on lap 28.
Exactly. Lap 42, Lewis Hamilton is talking to his guys on the radio, and they ask him about the tires, and he says they stink.
Well, the backs are gone.
Yeah, and they just tell him, you know, too bad.
And it's kind of like, well, your pit stop's not further than five laps, so deal with it.
Exactly. So Lewis Hamilton not having a great day at all.
Well, it's about this time that they show a replay of Massa going down the front straight. And all of a sudden, one of his left side wheel covers shoots off. Shoots off into the chain link.
It's like, that was interesting.
And then he was starting to throw down faster laps. It's like, huh?
Lap 43, Sebastian Vettel pits, goes with the hard tires. Felipe Massa pits, he goes with the hards. They both come out in P5 and 6. Fernando Alonso pits on lap 44, and he gets past Lewis Hamilton, who's suffering with tires. He comes out of the pits, and Hamilton is right there, and it's bada bing, bada boom.
And was able to close the door on him, and Lewis has to let off.
And of course, the crowd just goes up into a roar. Yes. If it's Fernando, I mean, even if it was a pass for P17, they would have just been
screaming. Would have been a cheer. Definitely,
it's pretty exciting stuff. But I can relate. They're into it. Robert Kubica pits on lap 46. He goes with the hards. Everybody's trying to get that hard in quickly.
Yeah.
Before the end of the race, Nelson Piquet pits as well, and on lap 47. The front 10 is like this. Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Mark Webber, Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, who's still behind Felipe Massa, Nico Rosberg, Heidfeld, Alonso, and Lewis Hamilton. Lap 48, Jenson Button pits. Hards, 8.7 second stop. Timo Glock pits. And Rubens must push. This is it. This is his final chance.
Yeah, he's got to open up enough of a gap so that when he comes in to get his final stop, that he can get back out before Jenson can get around and past him. But again, like you said, this stint, he's been having a hard time with the car.
Exactly. Lewis Hamilton pits as well on lap 48. Lap 49, it's Nico from P6. Rubens Barrichello finally pits. And Mark Webber does as well. And this is a very important pit for Mark Webber.
Huge.
He's able to leapfrog two cars.
He gets past the Ferrari and his teammate Vettel on this pit stop, which is going to
be very impressive.
Huge
dividends. And he put in some good laps.
He did. He had a very good race. We didn't see him much, but at the end of the day, it turns out to be a really good day for him.
And not only that, but I'm impressed with the dependability of the Red Bull.
Yeah, actually almost surprising on some level because, you know, Newey cars are notorious for being fragile. But it seems that they've basically kind of made that, gotten it right this time with, you know, having a really quick car and maintaining that reliability. Unlike, you know, Newey cars back when he was with McLaren where they were ridiculously fast but couldn't finish races.
Not only that, but I think both Webber and Vettel are doing a great job at managing the car and not overdriving the car.
True.
Even though they are pursuing the fastest cars, which are the bronze.
Yeah. Well, I think they're a little bit smoother drivers than we typically see. Kimi, I think, back when he was at McLaren, was a little bit rougher. You know, a lot of it, too, is because more often than not, he was having to start from the back of the field and run the way all the way up. So he was beating the car to get to the points.
Exactly. So, well done, Mark Webber, who's now in P3. Kaz Nakajima pits on lap 51 from P9, and he seems to be P9 a number of times and then has to pit. Sebastian Vettel is all over Felipe Massa, but he just, you know, it's been going on all day.
No, it's been this way since the last round of pit stops. They pretty much, well, even before that, Vettel's there, but he can't get
that
line.
Every time, yeah, because the curves, and trust me,
he just gives him just that enough amount so that Vettel can't get in on him to get the line for a pass.
Yeah, and Massa, I can see why he's definitely pro curves because he's using it constantly.
Yeah, and it's working to his advantage. He's not paying the penalty that so many of the other drivers are for carrying the extra weight.
And while we're watching Sebastian Vettel struggle with Ferrari and Felipe Massa, I mean, it's Spaghetti Junction,
yeah,
which is a new movie that I'm going to put together.
Yeah.
They get on the horn, and they tell Felipe that he's got to save fuel. And I love Felipe's answer. What? I'm fighting for position here against Vettel. You want me to save fuel?
Yeah.
I mean,
it
just gets more and more ludicrous.
Yeah, I can't see it as a strategy mistake. It's just a plain, straight, flat-out mistake. Somebody didn't get their... Somebody screwed up on their figures.
It's that, or they have a fuel rig problem or whatever, but the curse is living on, and I hate to say this, but people are talking about it all the time before the race as they see Schumacher in the paddock, and they scream evil.
Well, it comes down to it. It's like, you know, if you really want to turn around the fortunes at Ferrari, convince Michael to become the manager.
Or get Michael to stay home and watch it on the plasma, because every time Michael is there, disaster strikes.
It sure seems that way. But, you know, Felipe's like, hey, I'm fighting for position. What do you want me to do?
And they tell him, you don't have enough fuel.
No.
We made a mistake. What they did was they went and weighed the fuel rig to double check what they were looking in terms of how much gas was left in the Ferrari, because they wanted, you know, maybe the Ferrari, there might have been a discrepancy, though, so they weigh the fuel rig.
Or possibly they were getting bad telemetry.
Correct.
from the
they
car.
They weigh the fuel rig, and they went, ay, 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 mamma mia, we got too much of fuel here.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster. Felipe Massa is just distraught.
And there's no way he's going to save fuel, because Vettel's right on his butt. If he wants to maintain his position, he's got to race. But as it comes down to...
He's got to let Vettel by. And they tell him, you've got to let him by, because we can still get points, but you're not going to get points if you don't finish the race.
Basically, they come back and go, Felipe, let him by. You're a lap short.
Exactly. And while this is happening, Mark Webber is beginning to catch Rubinho, the man who thought he was going to win this race for sure, practically promised by Ross Braun.
Yep.
It's getting out of control, ladies and gentlemen. Within a second
of Rubinho at this point.
Now, on lap 59, we've got Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Mark Webber, Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Heidfeld, Rosberg, Hamilton, and Timo Glock. And just a reminder, everybody, only 14 cars are running anymore. That's it. Everybody else has dropped
out. Well, the last four on the first lap, and then the Raikkonen and Kovalainen's basically falling out.
Exactly. So anyway, we hear all about this fuel problem with Massa. He's got to let Vettel by to make it to the race. Then Flavio is listening to this, and he can't believe it.
No, and
he's going.
Hey, Fernando, you know,
step on it.
Felipe doesn't have enough gas to finish the race. Pick up your pace.
And you know what? Flavio is Italian. He likes Ferrari just like every Italian. But he's probably going, ay.
Exactly.
So Fernando, of course, picks up the pace a little bit and flies right by Felipe Massa because Felipe Massa, you know, they probably took off four cylinders just to save fuel.
Cut his revs down to about 15,000. So
it was a disaster in the making. And I hate to say it, but every race now, it's the Ferrari fiasco.
Yeah, it's something. You know, first you get Massa out in Q3 or in Q1 because they didn't put him back out on track. And then it happens again. And then Kimi's car basically, you know, catching on fire because the curse system has a short. It just, I'm going, wait a minute. This isn't the Ferrari that I know, but then again, the Ferrari I know has basically either been run by Ross Brawn or Jean Todt. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't into Formula One back in the days when it was the original Spaghetti Junction.
So anyway, and to make matters even worse for Lewis Hamilton, on lap 63, Jenson Button laps poor Lewis Hamilton, struggling to hold on to his non-points paying position.
Yeah.
Very sad state of affairs.
Hold on to his dignity, really.
It's just a sad state of affairs. And for a minute there, I thought maybe a couple more people might get by the Ferrari of Felipe Massa, but that wasn't the case.
No, he managed to hold him off and managed to get it across the line.
He gets it across the line, but it conks out. He doesn't even make it back to the paddock.
Then he basically let it go at the right moment. Yeah. Otherwise, he would have been completely toast. He ends up losing two positions instead of what could have been, you know, complete disaster with no points at all.
Absolutely. So wrap it up for us, Steve. Who's the winner?
Jenson Button wins his fourth race of the year, followed by his teammates Rubens Barrichello. Mark Webber gets the last place on the podium, followed quickly by his teammate Sebastian Vettel. Fernando Alonso finishes fifth, much to the cheering crowd. Felipe Massa finishes sixth, Heidfeld seventh, Rosberg eighth, Lewis Hamilton ninth, Timo Glock 10th, Robert Kubica followed by Nelson Piquet, Kaz Nakajima, and Giancarlo Fisichella is the final classified car, one lap down. Out on lap 49 was Kimi, on 59 was Heikki Kovalainen, and Trulli, Buemi, Bourdais, and Sutil, all eliminated in the first lap schmozzle.
So there you have it. The noise you heard a few moments ago was Rubens Barrichello fainting.
Oh, really? I thought it was Felipe Massa's hope of another championship run falling off the
Rubens
table.
Rubens Barrichello was just absolutely sure that he was going to win this race. And at the end of the race, he was absolutely confused why he didn't win this race. I don't know, but you're not going to believe this, Stephen. But a few minutes after the race and the press conference, the word team orders was uttered.
No.
And he went into a tizzy.
I'll bet.
You know, and once that number two thing is tagged on you, it's really, really hard to get off.
Yeah. It's exceptionally difficult.
Exactly. I mean, ask Leonard Nimoy.
Ask Giancarlo Fisichella.
Exactly. So, brutal. Brutal, but nevertheless, a 1-2 for Braun GP. The domination. The Braun domination continues, and if they keep development going,
yeah, if they can keep their development up, they've really good. It's starting to fall out into a two horse race. It's kind of between Braun and the Red Bull right now because those are the two teams that are really dominating. The Red Bull picked up a little bit of pace this weekend, and I still don't think they have the new a double diffuser in the back yet, and no. That's a little scary because car without it is pretty much as fast as the Braun. Once they get that in there, whew, look out.
So, which says that the diffuser isn't everything, it's the package, guys.
Yeah, it's more than just that, because we've seen a couple of other teams get the diffuser on the car, but they're still not tremendously competitive. They're a little bit faster than they were, but they're not catching up to the Braun's.
So, I can't wait for Monaco. It's going to be exciting.
Should be really interesting because to see some of these cars, you know, Monaco being such a slow track compared to what we see at so many other the courses around the season, it will be interesting to see how the Bronze seem to be a pretty good low-speed car. The Red Bull is a little less so. So it should be an interesting weekend. Maybe some of the other teams can pick it up a little bit and actually get into the fight.
And I think Renault will do a lot better at Monte Carlo.
Well, Fernando typically races well
exactly.
in Monte Carlo. So
I can't wait for that. That's usually the crown jewel of the season. So it's going to be exciting. And, of course, on that weekend, we have the Indy 500 as well.
Woohoo!
So we're pretty pumped up over here in the colonies.
Exactly.
So let's go right to the forum comments post-race. Steven, I'm going to go ahead and start it off, and we'll take our turns reading from our forum members what they had to say about this exciting race this weekend. Okay, I'm going to start off with AutoRacer 5. Rubens shouldn't have pitted as soon as he did. He was quicker on the softs. I think Bourdais is out very soon. Tough luck for Kovalainen and Raikkonen. For Massa to save as much fuel as he did, he must have saved over 9,000 revs. The cake is a lie. More subliminal stuff there.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand that one.
I'm sure it's right over our heads and he'll giggle.
Exactly. Eternal Tifosi says, Rubens got pushed aside, understandably, though. After a nice drive by Massa, much to Vettel's dismay, Ferrari does it again. Fuel to finish before you fight for the finish. Nice drive by Button. Bourdais' day seemed to be running out of light. Raikkonen and Kovalainen hit by reliability gremlins again.
This is from Rathump. Great strategic racing. Braun and Red Bull continue to show muscle. Some improvements from other teams. McLaren looks horrible. Who is the brain trust at Ferrari? Is there anyone with a brain left at Ferrari?
From Yay, Jensen is clearly driving like a champion. Ferrari continued to fall apart. The race was relatively processional, but we have been spoiled with great action so far this season.
From Miguel, a Grand Prix that confirmed, in case we were distracted, number one and two status at Braun GP. The illusion, there you go, Steven.
Yeah.
As well as another major, blah, 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 up at Ferrari. A team that is learning to Mambo, one step forward, one step back. Alonso and Hamilton, up to a point, made the most of a poor car.
Now from Mane, shades of Braun Ferrari Schumacher days with regards to shuffling the pits. Poor Rubens, number two driver yet again. Clearly down in the post-race interview, but always a team player. Probably just glad to be still racing in F1. He needs to announce his retirement for the end of the season soon. Weber Alonso, pass was stellar racing. Best pass of the season thus far, IMO. Well, it was kind of the pass-unpass for that one. But Kurs needs to go. Clearly Klaus Vettel, the entire race being stuck behind Massa. Ferrari missing the Braun and Tot days. Made some gains in the package, only to blow it in the pits again. Another self-inflicted wound.
And I agree with the curves. I think it lends to boring racing. Mallory, he's got a quick one here. Felipe, baby, save fuel.
Be green. From Leadfoot, truly, clearly out for and close shave for Hammy. I was sure his tires would shred from debris. Rubens got a nice run, but fuel strategy lost the advantage. Massa had a good charge, smart enough to stay out and back off pace. Bad luck, Kimi. Ferrari will run hard at Monaco.
This is from MP422 Crazy. Quickie. Nelsino, ya fired.
Iceman writes, Rubens has that deja vu feeling. Vettel again curses those curse cars starts. Ferrari show improved pace, but leave brains in Maranello. Luca orders more TVs. Carnage mid-pack at start. New regs haven't improved overtaking in Spain. Jensen now firmly in the championship driver's seat. Too many pink shirts on TV.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with the pink shirts, but apparently his father, Jensen, Mr. Button, is now wearing the same clothes every Grand Prix weekend. For luck, you know how it is.
Let's hope he launders them unlike some others.
It's at least we're not going back to the Felipe
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is
yes, at least that was just wrong.
And last but not least, Tricky Dick. Not an amazingly interesting race, to say the least. But still some stunning movements. Excuse me, stunning moments. Weber drove a great race, and I thought his overtake on Alonso was amazing. Ultimately, this race will be remembered for the weird sequence of events that proceeded to eliminate Rubens from the victory challenge. Was it down to his own lack of a performance, or was it simply a strategy that was destined to fail?
A strategy that was meant to fail, to allow his teammate to win.
Exactly.
The race.
Thank you, forum members, for your 50 words or less comments for the post-race weekend. We always love those. Bring them in. 1 p.m. Pacific time is the deadline after the race. So, great stuff. Can't wait for Monaco. That's going to be my birthday weekend. And, of course, Steve, $100 limit on all gifts. We always keep it that way here at F1 Weekly. It's the little things in life.
Let's see. One beer a week for 52 weeks. Well, actually, it's 100-something beers. You're right about... Right
exactly. Now, so we're all par for the course. Anyway, there you have it. I hope Nasser is enjoying a beautiful Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. I want to thank the executive producer, David Tapia, Dobie Taws, for doing another outstanding job. That would be Toby Dawes. Steve Faub, my co-host, and of course, Nasser Ahmed, who's always having a lot of fun on the road again. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.